happy Father's Day to the wannabes, one day, maybe, and to the weeping dads and the suffering dads and the funny dads and joking dads and all the other things that dads have to be a dad. The one thing they really want to be is a man. We want manly dads. So be a man. We need that. Man who follows God. A man who follows after God's own heart. That's what we need. A couple weeks ago, I was challenged, convicted in my walk. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine from the chapel, Christy Shervish. You may know the Shervishes. She's actually sung here for one of the conferences in a quartet-like manner with me and my daughter and my son. And her mother's been battling cancer for 2 years. And when you're going through something like that, I've never gone through anything like that. You're always looking to the Lord. You're wondering what's going on. You're asking and praying. And the thing that you know in your heart, in your mind, through reading the Word, is that God is good. Right? God is good. And yet, in times when you are going through things like this, you wonder if God is good. Right? My daughter, just the other day, we were up in the morning before work, and she's crying. And she's like, "Dad, what does it mean when the heavens are brass?" And I said, "Honey, God is good. He wants you to trust Him." Now, unless you have sin in your life that you need to confess, trust Him, because He is good. The goodness of God. He's always good. Whatever He does is good. Sometimes, I think maybe we don't understand that God is good. And so when my friend's mom is battling cancer, and by the way, it's very interesting, they traveled to Texas twice for this special treatment. And now her white blood count is coming up. She's doing much, much better. She's starting to come out to the chapel again. Because, of course, when you're having cancer and you're having treatment, you don't want to be around people. Because if they're sick, right, it makes it worse for you. So we're praising God. But the goodness of God. And I want to talk a little bit about the goodness of God today. But I kind of want to maybe throw at you some things maybe you haven't thought about before. Okay, not about the character of God, of course, but maybe about the way that we think about the goodness of God. So I want to talk a little bit about the goodness of God. Let's just listen to this. It's kind of like a definition, a theological definition. I can break it down. It says, a perfection of His character in which He exercises towards His creatures according to their various circumstances and relations. Speaking of the goodness of God, viewed generally, it is benevolence, okay, the kindness towards human beings and towards creation. As exercised with respect to the miseries of His creatures, it is mercy, pity, compassion. And in the case of impenitent sinners, long-suffering patience. As exercised in communicating favor on the unworthy, it is grace. Goodness and justice are the several aspects of one unchangeable, infinitely wise, and sovereign moral perfection. And we know this is just one of His characteristics, but goodness encompasses a lot of His other characteristics. God is not sometimes merciful and sometimes just, right? He is eternally and infinitely just and merciful because it's part of His perfect nature. So when you say that God is good, or to talk about the goodness of God, it is in perfection because God is perfect. God is infinitely and unchangeably good. And His goodness is incomprehensible by the finite mind, just like all of His other attributes, right? We talked about it this morning at the Lord's Supper, talking about His love. We feel His love, we have received His love, but we will never plumb the depths of His love. You can't. right? God's goodness appears in two things, giving and forgiving. And I like that. I like that. It's a big theological definition. You know, you can tell you what, listen to it online again, kind of get it into your mind. It's a big deal. I want to go through four things today, four things with you. And we're going to be flipping around. Now, you don't have to flip around if you don't want. You can just listen, because we're going to be going all over the place. Okay? I'm glad you brought your Bibles. It was just a few weeks ago, I was at a church down in Ohio, and it was a feel-good type of church with little scripture sprinkled in, and nobody had their Bibles. And I thought, man, what are we doing? I want to talk about how, first off, God's goodness is abundant, enduring, and great. And then I want to talk about God's goodness is for everyone, especially His people. And then I'd like to talk about God's goodness is both within and beyond our grasp, just like everything else of His is. And then lastly, I kind of want to go, so what's the bottom line? Okay, I want to put it all together for us. And hopefully you can follow me along, follow along with me. Don't follow me, follow the Lord Jesus. But God's goodness is abundant, enduring, and great. Now, it's interesting, if you have a King James Version, the first reference of God's goodness is in Exodus 18. But I'm going to look at Exodus 34. We know it with the Exodus, Moses coming out of Egypt with all the people. But it was very interesting in Exodus 34:6, it says this. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Abundant in goodness and truth. So it's not like you turn on the water faucet and after a while it runs out, or you hit the little spigot on the tank and it runs out of water, or you have to fill your gas tank because you run out of gas. No. Abundant. It's infinite. His goodness never stops. Never. Okay? Never. And it's interesting, the Lord showed Moses His goodness, but Moses couldn't even look at the Lord, right? He took Moses and put him in the cleft of the rock, but he had to turn around. That's how good and holy and perfect God is. Couldn't even look, right? The next one I want to talk about is in Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63 is talking about the future of Israel. And this is a section of praise. But listen to this. And again, if you just want to listen, that's fine, and get the drift of what I'm trying to say here. But it says this, Isaiah 63, verse 7, it says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He has bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to the multitude of His loving kindness. So did you hear that? I'm going to mention it. I'm going to talk about it. I want to say it. I want to remind you of it. The people of Israel, you here today, me, people of Calvary, people I work with, people, I want to talk about it. I want to mention it. The praise of the Lord according to all that He has bestowed, right? That's goodness, giving and forgiving. All that He has bestowed on us. And there's a lot, folks, that He has bestowed upon us. I think, I agree with the song, if we kept a list, we would run out of paper. We'd run out of ink. We wouldn't be able to write it all down. Right? If the oceans were ink and every man a scribe by trade, right? And the skies were parchment made, we wouldn't be able to fill it. We'd never stop. And it says, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel. You think about this. Think, how many times did the children of Israel disobey God? Lots, right? They even went into captivity a couple times because of it. God's goodness was still towards them, because they're the chosen people. They're His people. They're the apple of His eye. The children of Israel, and they still are. You don't mess with the nation of Israel, period. You will pay. You poke God in the eye, he's going to get you. That's why it tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's his city. It's his land. His people still. His promises are still a go, and one of these days, he's going to fulfill. End of story. But his goodness, imagine that, his goodness towards the house, his great goodness. And then I want to show you one other thing in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 17. It's toward the end of the Old Testament, coming upon the New Testament. And he asks a question, the prophet does, and he says this. Zechariah 9, verse 17. He says, "For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids." Now think about this in its context. Think about, you know, when you're working in the field, you want to harvest. And when you harvest, that's good, because now you can feed, you can trade, you can get the things, right? It's good. And that's great. And new wine, right? Think of the wedding at Cana. You saved the best wine until last. It was good. We like that. And Jesus did it to celebrate a wedding, a marriage. So if you look at these temporary things and you say, well, that's good. That's wonderful. How great is his goodness towards us? That's just a temporary thing. Because what happens when the crops fail? When the new wine fails? Or like in 2008 when I got laid off. Or when somebody passes away. Or somebody's battling cancer. God is still good. It doesn't change. It doesn't waver. Our situation wavers. Our feelings waver. God never wavers. He's always good. God's goodness is abundant, enduring, and great. Now, you probably have heard of Corrie Ten Boom, right? Mm-hmm. You can nod your head on this one. Yes, I have, Bill. Thank you. Well, here's a little story. Deep in our hearts, we believe in a good God, right? You would agree with that. Yet, how shallow is our understanding of his goodness? Especially since we see so many things that seem to deny it. Tell you what, this world is a cesspool. There's goodness in it, and there's badness in it. Corrie Ten Boom clarified the issue for us. Listen to this. This is what she says. "Often I have heard people say how good God is. We prayed that it would not rain for our church picnic, and oh, look at the lovely weather. Isn't that great, right? Maybe you do that too. Lord, please make it nice when I go down to Cedar Point. I really want to ride the Top Fuel dragster 5 times in the front. Thank you, right? That's really shallow, Bill. I know. But I did. It was a blast. Yes, God is good when he sends good weather. But God was also good when he allowed my sister Betsy to starve to death before my eyes in the German concentration camp. I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there. Everything around us was dark, and there was darkness in my heart. I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us. No, Corrie, said Betsy. He has not forgotten us. Remember his word? For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Corrie concluded, there is an ocean of God's love available. There is plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances, the goodness of God. It's always there. It never goes away. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in. It is always, God is always good. Always. Even when we're struggling. So his goodness is abundant, enduring, and great. It's also for everyone, especially for his people. Psalm 33, verse 5 says this: He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of his goodness. Full of it. It's full of the goodness of the Lord. You can look around this world and you can see his goodness for us. You can see it. And like I was talking to Bruce and during the break, and we were talking about, he was saying, you know, how the church, you know, people see the church as slowly drifting away and unchristianizing and things like this, but they're still good. There are still people that go to church on Sunday. There are still people that want to do the right thing. There are still people out there working for good. Remember when the Ebola cases broke out in Africa? Remember that? It was really huge. Huge. I have a friend at work. He's into all kinds of things. And he was like, that's going to come over here in America and it's going to kill a third of the population and, you know, we're going to be all dead and stuff like that and people are going to suffer. You know who was over there? Do you know who was over there? Samaritan's Purse. Their doctors were there. And those were the doctors that got Ebola that they brought back to America and they cured. And they actually made a movie on it, right? Facing the Darkness. There is still good people and good things and good in this world. God's world is full of goodness. Still. But isn't it interesting? Does it not rain on you and on the unjust too? On the unbeliever? Does it? Does God not feed you, but yet he feeds those people who aren't saved? He puts breath in your lungs, but he puts breath in their lungs. His goodness is for everybody, whether they realize it or not. Isn't that interesting? Some thoughts for you. 2 Chronicles 7, it says, And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away into the tents, glad and merry in their hearts for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. So they looked at how God dealt with this nation and they said, man, we're blessed. We're blessed. Is Curtis blessed by God? Yes. Look around at each of you, each other. What a blessing. Yes, he has blessed you. His goodness is here, just like it was there. Think of Nehemiah chapter 9. Listen to this. And it says, And they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all kinds of goods. Wells were dug, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat. Fat. Took a lot of work to get here. Right? And delighted themselves in thy great goodness. God provides for all of us every day. His goodness. Did you eat this morning? Did you have breakfast? I had a little sausage egg breakfast sandwich. It was good. His goodness. I have something to eat. I have a car to drive. I got glasses that I need to see. I got a job. I got people who love me. I got friends. I got a family. Think about this. I've got a family, physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, I got a big family. I got a bigger family. I got a family here at Curtis. I got a family at Calvary. I got a family all over the world. Goodness, the goodness of God. How about this one? This is a song. Psalm 23:6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Man, is that awesome? When you're like, when you just tripped and smacked your head on something, or you stub your toe, it's because it happens. You smash your finger with a hammer. You know what I mean? All these little things that, hey, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall follow me. How about Psalm 68? The congregation has dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. For the poor. Now, in the nation of Israel, they had a jubilee year in the seventh year. In the 70th year, they would give to the poor. You were supposed to give to the poor. You're supposed to minister to the poor. God wants you to do that. But what about the poor in spirit? Does he not also minister goodness to them, to us? We're poor in spirit. I'm weak in spirit. How about this? 107:15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that don't you wish that you, maybe your friends, your family, your co-workers would come to Christ so that they could praise the Lord for his goodness? And if you think about his goodness, think about his salvation. Think about the giving of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to talk about goodness? We didn't deserve it. We deserved hell. We deserved punishment. And yet, because of God's goodness, he sent his Son to the cross to die and shed his blood to wash away our sin. You want to talk about goodness? That's goodness. Because I, as a finite creature, owe God, an infinite creature, an infinite debt. And since I am finite, I can't pay it. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a man. And he paid that debt that I could never pay. And he cries out even today, "Come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest." Right? Trust in me with all your heart. We want to talk about God's goodness. It's seen in the cross. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? Did you hear that? People every day walk right by God's goodness in Christ, despising it. How can you possibly despise a love so great? Can you tell me? How do you do that? I understand. Their eyes are blinded by the God of this world. Their hearts are stone. And that's why we need to pray. And we need to speak. Because somebody did it for us, we need to do it for them. The goodness of God. How about this? Something that we all have, right? Ephesians 5:9. It's a list of spiritual gifts, the things not gifts, the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. What? Goodness. Faith, it goes on. But think about that. When we became a believer, those fruits now are within our grasp and we are to grow them. We're to be loving. We're to be full of joy. We're to be peace and peacemakers. We're to suffer long with people as he suffered long with us. We're to be gentle, not idiots. I am like that a lot, where I kind of get a little riled up at things. Christians need to be gentle. And then goodness. We need to be good. So if you think about the goodness of God, it's for everybody. It's for believers, and it's for unbelievers. It's for everybody in this world. It's for everybody that's ever been in this world. God's goodness. And we need to tell others about his goodness. Right? So, the third point I want to make is God's goodness is both within and beyond our understanding. This is kind of cool. I think you'll see it. I want to start out in 2 Samuel 7:28. and says this, "And now, O Lord God, you are that God, and thy words are true. And you have promised this goodness unto thy servant." Now, between King David and Solomon, you could even go back, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. God gave them promises. Promises of his goodness towards them, towards the children of Israel. And they were to lean on those promises, on God's goodness. Now, they know that God is good. They knew that. David knew that. Solomon knew that. Abraham knew that. Isaac knew it. But maybe they didn't know how that goodness would come or what path it would take to get there. How long was Israel wandering in the wilderness? And was it the straightest path ever took to the promised land from Egypt? And the answer is no. But it was God's path, right? It was God's path. But it was still God's goodness. Because the promise that you will receive the land between the Nile and the Euphrates, that's still there. And they walked into the promised land. God said, you're going to go in. You're going to take that land. To Abraham, what did he promise? He said, Abraham, your seed is going to be as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the heavens. You will be a great nation. All people will be blessed through you. But you know what? For some of those, Abraham did not see the end. And he didn't know how he was going to get there. But he knew that God was good. Right? So, in a manner of speaking, we can understand his goodness. And sometimes we can see his goodness if we look. If we look. But sometimes we don't know how we're going to get there. 1 Chronicles 17:26 says this, "And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant." It's the same thing. He has promised this goodness. He's promised it. Do we have promises in Christ? Tell you what, eternal life through Christ is a promise. When we trust in him, place our faith in him, he gives us eternal life. That's a promise. He promises he will never leave us nor forsake us. Right? But that road to eternal life, I can't see. But I know I'm going. But sometimes I don't know how I'm going to get there. I mean, I know, if you want, you know what I'm saying with that? I'm not saying that, oh, Christ, he's going to like dump us off on the shore over here. No, but from my earthly vision, because God can see all things and I can't, I, at times, can't see. But I trust in his goodness. Because he has promised to me. Right? And whatever God does is good. Whatever he does is good. I'm going to turn here. It's Numbers chapter 10. I don't know if you want to turn there too. I want to get this in context. I want you to understand this. Numbers chapter 10. On this Father's Day 2017. Numbers chapter 10. And Israel is leaving the Sinai. Moses is there. There's a great company. And I'm going to start in verse 29. He says, "And Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, 'We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will do good to you, for the Lord has promised good to Israel,'" the goodness of God towards Israel. "But he said to him, I will not go. I will depart to my own land, to my own kindred. And he said, please do not leave us. For you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will serve as eyes for us. And listen to this, verse 32. And if you do go with us, whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same will we do to you. Think about that. His goodness was for the children of Israel. But if you went with the children of Israel, that goodness was for you too. Now, we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved. We're sanctified. We're justified. One day we're going to be glorified. And if someone like your friend at work, or my friends at work, or my family, my brothers, whatever, they trust in Christ, guess what? They come along too. And they can see the goodness of God. Isn't that cool how that works? Like when my friend Mark was witnessing to me, and he understood the goodness of God, even though he was like, oh, how old? He was like 20. He's a young man, right? But then when I got saved, now I understood that God is good. And now I shared in all that goodness that Mark had known since he was a little kid. Because he had been a Christian. He grew up in a Christian home. He got saved when he was young. And he said, man, I'm gonna, you know what? I've never witnessed anybody before. I'm going to witness to Bill. That was a fun year. But praise God, right? Because now, almost 30 years later of being a Christian, I can look back and I can see all the goodness of God. All of it. So I can see it all back there, and I know that there's going to be more over there. Because he is good. God is good. Psalm 65, it says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths with drops of fatness. Every year he has something. Every day he has something good for you and for me. And it's interesting, it says he crowns the year with goodness. This is a special year. It's a special day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But sometimes when you're struggling with something, you don't always think of that. But we always need to remember that he's good. The goodness of God. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, this is familiar to maybe to us. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness in the work of faith with power. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You've heard that, right? It's like the beginning of the gospel tract, right? And then you go on. Here's the bad news. You're a sinner. You're bound for. Here's the good news. Christ died. Here's even better news. Trust in him. You have, right? But what about Ephesians 2:10? Right? We love quoting Ephesians 2:8-9. It's one of the verses we always, you know, we memorize that. We memorize new believers because we use that. You know, we go to people who, you know, they think that I'm a good person. I'm going to get to heaven by my own good works. Right? And we say, wait a second. What does Ephesians 2:8-9 say? And you quote that to them, right? Because it's just like, boom, hey, your good works. No. But it says this in verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Follow the Lord. Do good works. Think about this one. Before I get to point number 4, Romans 11:22, it says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but towards thee, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. And this is in the chapter of Israel. But the whole point is, there is goodness and there is severity. There is grace, but yet there is judgment. There is mercy. There is God's goodness. And don't despise it. Because if you reject his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing left for you. God can do nothing else for you. What did God ever do for me? What did he ever do for me? Right? You hear that. People say that. God never did anything for me. Yes, he did. He gave his only begotten Son. And if you reject him, he has nothing else for you. Because that was his bottom line. Don't despise his goodness. So then, what's the bottom line here? Come on, Bill. What's the bottom line? I know you're asking the question. I know you're asking because you want to get home and cook those steaks on the grill. Right? I know what you're saying. It's Father's Day, right? So we've got to have meat. Father's Day. Ugh. And bacon. And stuff. So what's the bottom line? Think about this for a second. When we hope in God and his goodness, we should never presume to know what that will be. You ever argue in your head with somebody? You ever do that? We do it all the time, right? And we always win. Right? You know, he's going to say that, and I'm going to say this. And then he's going to go, oh, well, and I'm going to say that. And he's going to go, oh, then this, that. And then he's going to be quiet, and I won. We always do that. What about when we pray to the Lord? And we're praying about some issues, we're praying about our friends with cancer. And the reason why I was studying this, now thinking about it, is because my friend Christy and her mom, Kathy, and she has cancer, and she was battling this cancer. And you're praying, Lord, if it be your will, that you would heal this cancer, right? Well, in your head, in their head, in Christy's head was, I think it should work like this. We should go that direction. And God should work like that. Like I think he should. And the whole point is, God doesn't think like we do. As his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways higher than our ways. And this is what we do. We presume to know the mind of God. And this is why I was saying before, I know that he has promised good to me, but sometimes I can't see how to get there. But I know I'm going to get there. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 tell us that God's thoughts are way beyond ours, right? I just quoted that. Let us trust that no matter what the situation we're in, God's thoughts of us, think about this. God's thoughts of us are precious. Remember that scripture? Remember that? Psalm 139:17. And they are for our good. Romans 8:28, Ephesians 2:10, Genesis 50, verse 20. So in a practical way, and in my goofy way of saying it, let's say I'm praying about something, of God's goodness, about a situation, and I think this direction is the direction, and God goes, nah, it's over there, and then it's over, and it's up that mountain, and then you might get stuck, and then you come down, and you trip, and you fall, and you roll a little bit, and you get bandaged up, and then you get to the river, and you clean yourself off, and you cross the river, and you get to this great field, and you're going through the field, and you get bit by a coyote. We have coyotes in our backyard. That's the only reason why I said that. I didn't get bit by a coyote, though. It's really cool. They're just creeping around looking for the turkeys. And then you go through this great forest, and you can't look, and you look up, and you can't see the sun, and the heavens are brass. And keep walking. And finally come out. And you saw that place that you saw when you started. And there you're standing. God's goodness. God's goodness. It may not come in the way that we want. But the whole point is, wait on the Lord. And wait to see what he does. Because everything he does is good. Right? Amen? That's right. That's right. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you are a good God. There's no other religion on the planet that their small g God can say that. They don't. They're vindictive, they're hateful, they're spiteful, they're judgmental. Only you are gracious and merciful and loving and good. Only you are that way. Only you saw our need of a Savior. Only you sent your Son to this planet. Only you gave up your only begotten Son to rescue those who would shake their little fists at you. We are so thankful for your goodness. It's shown time and time again in the Scriptures how good you are to the children of Israel and to the Apostle Paul and to Stephen and to the early church and to Peter and to David, even to Adam and Eve. Your goodness, even though we stumble and we sin and we disobey, and we are so thankful. Lord, even in our hard times, we just want to lean on you and your goodness, knowing that your goodness is for us and not against us. Lord, we are thankful for this country. We are thankful for this place you have given, Curtis, little light right here. We want to continue to lift our country up, lift our president up, lift his cabinet up, lift his people up, protect them, help them to do what is good. Lift up Samaritan's Purse. Lift up the children's ministry here. Lift up Tepsi. Lift up all these things, because there is goodness all around. And even more, and even better, and even closer is help us to do good, to emulate our Father in heaven. We are so thankful. Bless our day. Bless our day spent with whatever we're doing, barbecuing, whatever. Take us from here with your safety. We just give you great thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.